What is your work uniform? The armor of God. When you go to work without the armor of God on, you are going to work naked. Now, you know what? It's one thing to go to your job and work with a bunch of devils. It's another thing to go to work naked. And there's a whole lot of Christians that's going to work naked every day, and then they wonder why they have problems. They wonder why they have issues. And the problem is that you haven't put on the armor of God. If I put on the armor of God, I can withstand anything that that job is going to do.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Work, the Employee God Loves, from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Work, the Employee God Loves.
Which one is not selfish? Which one is not rooted and grounded in the flesh? Getting to work late. That's in the flesh. You haven't disciplined your spirit. Gossiping. Somebody asked me the question, what if my job has become discouraging or meaningless? All right. What if my job has become discouraging or meaningless? Well, this is what I wrote. And those of you who have the notes, it's in the notes. Work is hard. God told Adam that he would earn a living by the sweat of his face, Genesis 3:19. Now, that involves energy and effort. Though this is the case, work should also be fulfilling. There should be a sense of accomplishment and pride as a result of you working. When God looked at the work of his hands in creation, in Genesis 2, he saw that it was good and very good. God had a sense of fulfillment when he looked at his work. If there is not a sense of fulfillment, it may be time for you to seek another job that utilizes your skills and gives a reasonable degree of satisfaction. If changing jobs is not realistic at this time, then you ought to pray and ask God to change your heart and help you to be the best employee possible. Number two, being an employee that God loves involves a toleration for toil. And what is that? That means that you will be called to do one thing after the next thing, after the next thing, after the next thing, and sometimes it will be without any consideration. Look at this man. The master didn't feel sorry for him. You worked in the field. You fed the cows. Now you come in and you do this, 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 and this. I'm not even thinking about you. You know, or as my dad used to say, I ain't studying about you. You just go do what I told you to do, right? No consideration. You know, sometimes on the job, you might feel that, man, you know, these people are not giving me any consideration at all. You know, I come, I'm on time, I do what I'm asked to do, and I don't get any consideration. I'm not asking for any favors. I'm just asking for some consideration. Well, God knew that that would be the case, and so he put several verses in the Bible to help you to deal with this. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 25, and even though he's given the analogy of servants and masters, you know, the whole concept is that of, as we take the ancient text and bring it into the day, we see that it's talking about employers and employees. Servants, obey your masters in all things according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Let me give you four quick things from this passage right here. That if you have an employer who is unpleasant, if you have an employer who is demanding, if you have an employer who is inconsiderate, if you have an employer who is, insensitive, then let me give you four things from this passage that he tells us. First of all, God-fearing employees should not put on an outward show for the employer. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, servants, obey your masters in all things according to the flesh, not with eye service. And so what do some people want to do? You know, some people want to put on an outward show, but their heart is rotten. They want to put on an outward show. Yes, the boss. Yes, the boss. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, put on an outward show, but in their heart, you know, is rotten, and they got a bad attitude. Paul said, don't be a man pleaser. Don't be an eye pleaser. He said, don't do that. You know, that you work and you get your attitude right. You know, let your hard work be reflected in your attitude. And don't serve with eye service. Don't just be doing something for people to see you. Secondly, God-fearing employees should submit to his employer in order to please and honor God. Look what he says. Servants, obey your... Okay, he's in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters. All right? And then drop down to verse 24. Okay, verse 23. And whatever you do, heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward and the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So it says here that you should serve your master, and back in verse 22, that's what I was looking for, the end of verse 22, the last phrase in 22, fearing God, serve your employee, fearing God. That every day I go to work, that I've realized that I'm submitting to my employer, but I'm fearing God. That man, I'm honoring and I'm respecting God. Martin Luther wrote in a letter, and he said this: the maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. Amen. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. That God is looking at you. And as I go on my job, I'm not serving, per se, my employer. I'm fearing God, and I'm serving God. Martin Luther King, I love what Martin Luther King said. He said, sweep streets as if when you swept the street, that all of heaven stopped and said, there goes the best street sweeper that ever lived. And so as I serve, you know, I realize that I'm submitting to my employer, but I'm fearing God. The third point, God-fearing employees submit to his employer because he realizes that he will be judged by God on his performance. Whoa. I didn't write that. I told it and I quote it, but I didn't wrote it. I didn't write that. God wrote that. Look at, well, what are you talking about? Well, look what it says right here. He says in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So if you're doing good, not only will you have a paycheck here on this earth, but you will also have a paycheck in heaven. But look at verse 25. But he that doeth wrong, well, what is the wrong? Hey, Santino, can you put that one slide back up there? The first one that had all them things on there? Yeah, go back one more, I believe. All right? As you right there. All right? Let me read this. But he that doeth wrong. Well, what is wrong, Pastor Glaze? I don't know what wrong is. I got it right there. No questions anymore, right? He that doeth wrong on his job. That's what it's talking about. He that doeth wrong on his job shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Wow. So every pen that you stole from your job. Let me back up on that one there. I know there's a couple pens at my house that. Forgive me, Lord, forgive me. That God is, I'm joking about it, but you know, really think, it's really serious. If you think about it, that God says that he's judging you and he's evaluating you on your job. And that if you've done the right things, that not only will you receive a paycheck, but you will receive a reward in his presence. And if you've done wrong things on your job, the scripture is very clear that you will have to give an account to God for the wrong that you've done on your job. And then finally, God-fearing employees submit to his employer because this is a form of serving Christ. He says, servants, obey your masters in all things. And then at the end of verse 24, he says what? For you serve the Lord Christ. That you're not just serving your employer, you are serving Jesus Christ. Now, I put a note here, and I just want to read this note before I move on. There is a time when the God-fearing employee should not submit to his employer. And that is when he is asked to do something, and I'll go back to what I said earlier, illegal, immoral, or unethical. At this point, obedience to God supersedes obedience to man or your employer. So if your employer is asking you to do something illegal, immoral, or unethical, at that point, you can tell him, well, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'll submit in every other way, and I'll do what you ask me in every other way, but when it comes time to that, I'm not going to do it. And if you're an employer here, let me just say, shame on you if you ask your employees to do something that's illegal, immoral, or ethical. All right, let me move on. Being a employee that loves God involves a uniqueness to be unappreciated. If you're serving on your job for appreciation, you're there for the wrong reason. This man, he said, does he thank the servant because he did all those things that the master commanded him? I think not. Praise God that on some jobs, people get raises based on evaluations. They get incentives for reaching certain levels, and they get end-of-the-year bonuses. These are all forms of appreciation. However, there are people who go to work day in and day out, and they never receive as much as a thank you. Now, this is the problem. This is the problem. The problem is, if we're looking for appreciation and we don't get it, 9 times out of 10, it's going to affect your job performance. Because you're going to start pulling back, or you're going to go with a bad attitude. And so what I'm saying is that you're not on your job to be appreciated. You know, you get appreciated other places. You know, get appreciated in your home. Get appreciated, you know, in relationships that you developed outside your job. You know, there's other places we can get appreciation. You know, if you're going to your job for appreciation, then you're there for the wrong reason. There's 3 reasons that you should go to your job. First of all, to glorify God. You're there to glorify God, not to be appreciated. All right? Secondly, you're there to be an ambassador for Christ and not to be appreciated. So that when you step on your job, you are an ambassador. And what does an ambassador do? An ambassador represents somebody else. And so when I go on my job, every day I'm representing Christ. So why is it, if that's the case, do I hear people on the job say, well, you know what, if that's the way a Christian is, then I don't have anything to do with it. Then you're a poor representative. If that has ever been said about you, and it's been justified, now a lot of it sometimes is unjustified, but if it's ever been said about you and it's justified, then you ought to look into that. That's a serious accusation. For somebody on your job to accuse you, and 9 times out of 10, Santino, if we could do this one more time, if I could trouble you one more time, if you'll go back to that one slide that I've been kind of harping on here this morning, all right, okay, that generally, if somebody says, if that's a Christian, then I don't want to have anything to do with it, you know why? It's because of something right there. Oh, man, I should have got some more amens than that, right? If somebody says that If that's what a Christian is, and I don't want anything to do with it, on your job, if somebody has said that, it's usually for one of these reasons right here. Show up late every day. Oh, how I love Jesus. Got Word FM on your radio all day long. And you come in a half hour late every day. That's what a Christian is. I don't know. Oh, man. Man, maybe I should have preached this message somewhere where folks needed it. Y'all don't need that. I can tell. Y'all don't need this message. All right. You're not on your job to be appreciated. You're there to glorify God. You're not on your, and let me say this. When I say ambassador, I'm not saying that you take your Bible and preach and witness to everybody. That's not what the ambassador does. On your job as an ambassador. Now, if God in the employment situation gives you an opportunity and God so moves you, then you may want to share something. But you are not there to preach to folks. You're not there to witness to folks. You're there to be an ambassador for Christ. You're the people are going to see Christ in you. And if they're looking at you and you walking around on the job, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's not a good ambassador. So you are there as an ambassador for Christ. And then you are there to support your family. Now, I got scriptures behind all these. We just don't have time to look at them right now. You are there to support your family and not to be appreciated. All right. If appreciation comes, then that's fine. I remember when I was in college, you know, football players, things have changed a lot since I graduated. But when I was in college, they used to have these work study jobs, right? And man, the football players got all the cake work study jobs. You know, the other students, man, they have to go and they have to work. If it was 3 hours, they had to work 3 hours. And they was giving the football players jobs like, well, you just go turn the sprinklers on at 6 o'clock and then come back at 9 and turn them off. I can dig a job like that, right? All right. I had a job one time. I just had to empty a few trash cans, and I got paid for 3 hours' work, right? But I remember one guy, he was angry with the football players. So every football player that they sent to him, this is what he said. 3 hours' work for 3 hours' pay. 3 hours' pay for 3 hours' work. What was he saying? He's saying, you're not going to come and turn sprinklers on. You're not going to come and empty trash cans for 15 minutes. That you're going to be here for 3 hours, and you're going to work for 3 hours. And so we need to realize that we are going to work to earn money to take care of our needs. And we're not there to be appreciated, okay? When you contracted with your employer, I venture to say that most of us, when we signed the contract to work, there was nowhere in there that every week, you know, I'm going to appreciate you, all right? You know, just think, man, if the boss, everything you did, man, I appreciate you doing that. Oh, I appreciate you doing that. Oh, man, it's just, you're not there to be appreciated. You're there to work, all right? Which leads me to my last point, then I'm done. Move on to something. What am I going to preach next week? I got to find something else to preach next week. All right. Being an employee that loves God involves a declaration of duty. Back in Luke 17, look what it says in verse 10. So also, when you shall have done all those things which were commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So Jesus concluded that when you have worked your 8 hours, or however it is many that you work, that at the end of that 8 hour time, that you should be able to say what he said, I have done that for which I was paid to do. I have done the duty which I was hired to do. So what does this mean? It means two things. First of all, it means that I have given my God a good day's work. And secondly, it means that I have given my employer a good day's work. And at the end of the day, when you leave, can you walk away saying to yourself, I have done that which is my duty to do. I have given my God a good day's work, and I have given my employer a good day's work. I think one thing that will change our attitude about work is that if we see our jobs as a place of worship. Place of worship. I go to church and I worship in church on Sunday morning. No. That you should see your job as a place of worship. You gonna say, well, how can I see my job as a place of worship? Well, just look at it like this. That when you go to the job, the radio is your choir. And they're singing the songs of Zion. The supervisor is your preacher. And he's telling you what to do. The janitor is a trustee. He's taking care of the property. Watch this now. Watch this. Because here's where it comes together. And your job is your worship. Let me say that again. Y'all missed that. You missed that. Your job is your worship. You go there to worship. Because why? God is watching. You're serving Christ, and he wants you to do it to his honor and to his glory. And so we should view going to work as a worship experience. Each time we step onto the job, we should see gates and courts. The 100th Psalm said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Watch this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This is the great Glaze translation. For the Lord gave me a job, and he is good. For the Lord provided employment, and his mercy is everlasting. For the Lord gave me a way to take care of myself, and his truth endures to all generations. You say, well, man, I got some heathen on my job. There's some heathen in the church. But that don't stop you from worshiping. You need to see your job as a worship experience. And I tell you what, if you see your job as, I challenge you. I'm done. I challenge you. Tomorrow when you go to work, see it as a worship experience. And I guarantee you that along the way, Satan is going to come and try to break your worship experience. But if you put on, if you have put on the armor of God, in case you want to know, I did a whole series on the armor of God. LifeQuest just got finished this summer doing a whole series on the armor of God. There's no reason for a Christian not to know what the armor of God is and how to apply the armor of God. If you will put it on, Satan will not break your worship. And you will worship God right through the rest of the day. People be looking at you like you crazy. You know, Satan has sent people on your job to attack you. Satan has sent people on your job to take you down. But if you just keep, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And hold as with, you just keep, don't let them rob your spirit. Don't let them take it. Then they're going to look and say, man, that didn't work. Worship God as you go. My prayer is this. Dear most gracious Father, thank you for allowing me to be gainfully employed. When everything is going well on the job, I give you praise, honor, and glory. When things are not going so good, I praise you for the health and strength to be able to go to work and provide for me and my family. Please allow me to have the attitude of a servant and to be a good testimony to others. Allow me to be continually reminded that I am serving you on my job and that one day I will give an account of my job.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of The Tongue. Only you can prevent forest fires. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Work, the Employee God Loves, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877 877- 831-5060 and request Work, the Employee God Loves. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Work, the Employee God Loves. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.